I'm Jen, she's Lex, and we are the Bachelorettes. On this week's episode, we are coming to the final two episodes-ish of Love is Blind Season 2, where we cover the Bachelor, Bachelorette parties, and the weddings. And guess what, guys? Guess what? There's an argument. There's always an argument.
There's an argument. Spoiler alert.
Listen, there's so many arguments that happen, I think, in the episode 9 specifically. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I thought we were getting married. I thought we were having a great time.
Yeah, it's like you watch this and you're like, are y'all really ready to get married? Like, y'all are about to get married. Why are you arguing? It just doesn't make sense. We have a lot to talk about.
We really do. So let's start with one of the parts of episode 9 that made my head hurt. The episode opens with Shake talking to Shane about Deep D. And Shane is telling him to get his head out of his ass and give Deep D a shot. And Shake keeps talking about, she reminds me of my aunt. I'm just not attracted to her. This animal attraction. And I'm just looking at him like, you have Shane telling you to give this woman a chance. Do you not feel stupid?
This just annoyed me. It annoyed me. Okay, I'm not mad about Shane telling Shake, okay, give Deep D a chance. I'm mad that Shane was basically like, yo, get drunk and fuck her. That's basically what Shane was telling him. He was like, just get drunk. Like, when you're drunk, they're all pussy and tits anyway. Like, that's what this conversation sounded like. And I was like, oh, Lord. Like, I get what he's trying to say. Let go. Let yourself enjoy it and see what happens. But the way he was saying it, I was like, Shane, come on.
Yeah, no, that is literally my next note. It says, not pretending he has to be drunk to fuck her. I would fuck Deep T without alcohol, and she's not even my type. What are you talking about?
Exactly. He would be lucky to be with a person like D. And he just had it in his head. Oh, she's like my family member. That's the thing he kept saying. It was like, she's like my family member. I don't want to fuck my family member. And I'm like, maybe she wouldn't seem like you're a family member if you had been dating people who look like you. Like, maybe she seems like you're a family member because you only date white women. I don't know. Just a thought.
Just a suggestion. I don't know. It goes to that whole internalized racism thing we've talked about, where it's obvious that Abhishek does not find himself to be the epitome of an attractive human. And so he overcompensates by dating thin, blonde, white women who are the closest proximity to whiteness that he's going to get and power and security in this world. But Shake, mega honest with you, womano amano right here now. You don't look that good for Gwan, so you know. Like, you don't look good enough for Gwan, so.
I'm saying, it's like he wants these women who are like a size 2, who are basically models, white, thin, blonde, young women. And I'm like, okay, but what do you have to offer? Like, why are these women looking at you? Why would they be looking at you? You're shaped like a bag of coal, sir.
Listen, that's why he could never be with a Jamaican woman, because then would boof him from time. Mm-hmm. Just poof, right in the face. He would just be over it. He would have to go into a hole and cry, to be honest, if he did a Jamaican woman.
Yeah, any other woman, really, because like any other woman, why would they give you the time of the day? Like, the more I hear about Shake, the more I'm like, maybe he's dating white woman because literally nobody else will give him the time of day. I can't think of any other woman that will tolerate his BS. So white woman it is. Like, I just...
Yep, that part.
I don't know, sir. Get it together, Shake. Get it together.
Yes, but this is the most insufferable Shake is for the entire episode, just so you know. Because we're cycling through a lot of scenes. It's the week of the wedding. It's probably like maybe 4 days before the wedding as we progress. So it's a lot of stuff going on. So that's the first scene. The next time we get to Jared and Ayana in the house doing domestic things. And Ayana is asking Jared how ready he is for this wedding, how ready he is to get married. And I guess it's something they've been asking each other back and forth, because he just blurts out, yeah, I'm an 8 out of 10. Like, Jared's pretty sure that he wants this to happen in the next few days. Ayana's like, I'm 4. And I was like, 4?
Four is, girl, y'all about to get married. What are you doing that for? But then she was like, oh, but you were like a 9 out of 10 before. Why 8? Because apparently he said 9 out of 10 before. Then he dropped back to an 8 out of 10. So it was like this realization, like, oh, shit. we're doing something crazy. We're both not sure.
Yeah, but it's true though. Like even in the pod, she said this, I just got engaged to someone I've never fucking met through a wall. What is wrong with us?
And then Ayan is like, Jarrett has made these promises. They basically agree like he needs to stop living life like he's single. And she's like, to marry him without knowing that he will do that for sure is a huge risk. I'm like, yeah, girl. And it was funny to me because she was telling him about going out and she was like, at least come home by 3 a.m. And I'm like, girl, he'd be out past 3 a.m.? Like, what?
Yeah. Yes, trust me. It is a whole thing. Jarrett be out here in these streets. But I love that she communicates that to him. These are the things that she is uncertain about. This is what's feeding into her insecurity. This is what's happening with her. And he's like, I understand, of course, why you feel this way. And it's asking a lot of you to trust me. But this is something that you can see I'm actively working on this thing. I'm actively working on it. I need you to trust me. And she was like, yeah, it's hard for me to trust without seeing the thing, but I love you, so I'm gonna ride this ride with you. Mm-hmm. But then she brings up Mallory, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I think she was like, why me? And he was like, you had my heart. And she was like, somebody else did. I was like, ooh, applying pressure. She's not gonna let him forget that at all.
No, he cannot. And I have listened to some interviews post the show and the reunion and everything, where Ayana is talking about things that have happened, and it's actually hilarious. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We're going to get through the episode first. But yeah, so that's one thing. And we know that's 4 days before the wedding. Then 3 days before the wedding, we are with Nick and Danielle. Mm-hmm. And remember I told you there was an argument? They were having an argument eating charcuterie. Like, how can you argue enjoying charcuterie? I don't get it.
Not only that, but they were having an argument about having arguments. I was like, how you have an argument about the arguments that you had before? It was so frustrating to watch because they were having an honest moment. And I was like, okay, they're able to speak honestly. And Nick was just saying, honestly, in Mexico, when we had that argument, like, I was like, I really don't want this for the rest of my life, which is understandable. It's the first time he's been meet this woman in person. And she starts an argument out of thin air. So obviously he's like, fuck, is this what I have to do with for the rest of my life? Danielle takes offense to that. And she's, that just puts me on edge that you would feel like that about me. And it's like, girl, how else is she supposed to feel? Like, how else are you making him feel? How else is he supposed to feel when you just snatch these arguments out of thin air like that? I just don't understand.
I don't get it. Like, he is being very kind, very considerate, very direct in a sweet way. Because she's talking about with everything, the wedding preparations are making her crazy. She's a little bit more unbalanced than she usually would be, which makes sense. Planning a wedding in a month is like insane to someone that you just met 6 weeks ago. I get it. But this behavior is unacceptable, and expecting him to have to just go along with this and accept this, and this is how it's going to be, is insane. And him telling you, hey, this argument upset me, and you're like, oh, how dare you? What do you mean?
How dare you have feelings? You're not supposed to have feelings. I have all the feelings for us both.
Of course, there's times where we know that Nick's being shitty. But in this moment, he is being the least shitty human ever because it's 3 days before their wedding.
When this was happening, I was like, there's no way they're going to argue. Nope. They argued. Typical Nick and Danielle.
Honestly, I gave up on them in this moment. I was like, no, absolutely not. I don't even want you guys to make it to the wedding day. Much as actually get. I mean, at this point, it's 3 days before, so you have to. But at this point, I was like, don't get married, because this is not, no, absolutely not, absolutely not.
But on the other hand, she's talking about how much pressure it is to organize a wedding in a week. So I can understand why she might be on edge, because it is a lot of pressure. But still, if this is what you're like under pressure, like, I honestly would look at Nick and be like, is this what you want to deal with? Because as a couple, there's never just going to be just ups. There's going to be ups and downs. So why would you want to be with someone who makes the downs so much harder than the ups? If you experience downs by yourself, why would you want to be with someone who makes experiencing that even worse? I just don't understand. But I guess Nick does. So they do not break up over this charcuterie board.
No. Listen, and that would have ruined it even more. If you broke up over this food, I would have just so mad. I hate when people argue over dinner. It really upsets me. I also love food, so there's that.
Me too.
So then we go to another food date with Salary. I'm using Lex's term in the name.
Hey, Salary.
Salary. Sal has a stupid fucking ukulele.
again.
God, I find it so annoying. You all know this about me. So annoying. But anyway, Mallory meets him like on the pier or something. A pier, it looks like some kind of dock situation. This is a little song. But his fiance is hot like Beyonce. And I was like, bitch, where? Okay. Okay. That sounds a bit extreme to me. Okay. It like is, Beyonce is a gorgeous woman.
Exactly.
It's extreme.
It's like Mallory's a gorgeous woman too, but I guess he needs something to rhyme with Beyonce. Beyonce? But yeah, you're right. The ukulele was annoying. I think the first couple of times he pulled it out, it was cute. And then by this point, especially after hearing about the other girl and they had this argument and da da da, and then he pulled out the ukulele again. And I was like, yeah, I'm not buying it no more. You're clearly doing this for a reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, why do ukulele got to come out at every possible instance? It screams a little too much Jed for me.
Right? It's giving Jed vibes. I hate it Jed so much. And for people who don't remember Jed and Hannah Brown from The Bachelorette, just context for those of you who don't actually watch The Bachelorette. So, yeah, they have this like it's a little picnic sort of situation that's set up. And I think Mallory brought the food. If memory serves. Yeah, she brought the little picnic basket thing, and Sal expresses his love through acts of service. So that's pretty much what he's talking about, like just doing things, show her that he loves her and all this stuff. And honestly, I don't really get much from this conversation. I don't know if you have more notes, because I just have my fiance is hot like Beyonce, ew, and this stupid song and this fucking ukulele. I guess the date is cute. Those are my literal notes.
Yeah, my only note is I just don't believe Sal anymore. Like, I don't. Because in this, things seem to be going well. And then the next episode, I'm like, what the fuck? But we'll get there. But at this point, I'm just like, yeah, I don't believe a single thing Sal is doing or saying. Especially after hearing about there was this other girl and they had this whole, like, argument that we didn't really hear that much about. It was like, I don't think Sal's being genuine. That's my only thing on this.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so either. But don't worry. We go back to Jarrett and Ayana. So this episode, we're just following everything chronologically because it just makes more sense. So then we go back to Jarrett and Ayana. I call them Jayana. They have a date night. It's like dinner.
I like that. Jayana.
Right? Jayana. So date night, it's dinner in this fancy high rise. And they're really talking and they're communicating. And at the end of it, she tells him that she's a 10 out of 10 and that she wants him. And I was like, oh, thank God, girl. Because not that I think Jared is that great, but I think that it's great that she's now at a level where she is sure 2 days before the wedding. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because the salary thing happens 2 days before the wedding. So it's just like these are the last dates they're going to have together. Mm-hmm. Because the day before the wedding is bachelorette party and then the actual fucking ceremony. So I really appreciate the fact that whatever happened in the past 2 days, Jared has obviously turned it around and he's been a better partner to her for her to be comfortable to be at a 10 out of 10. And I'm good with that.
Me too. Like the part of it that I think makes her feel more comfortable is that they're both trying. So what they do is they go on this cute date night. Jared arranged a date night. So Jared made the effort in trying to bring Ayana out with him instead of just going out without her. And Ayana did the effort in actually getting, like, leaving the house and going out with him. So they both put in a little effort. And I think that's what made her feel like, you know what? Like, this can work because we're both putting in the effort. I thought the date was really cute. It's like they went to this building in Chicago where, like, it looked like the windows moved or the ground moved. So it looked like you were leaning off the edge of the building. It felt like you were leaning off the edge of the building. It looked really wild, but I would love to do it. And then Ayana afterwards was like, I think I'm scared of heights. But they had that cute little date night. And then they were like, oh, okay, like we can meet each other halfway, but we feel good about this. Which I was like, you know what? Y'all might be right. So that was, So that was good to see. I was like, okay, our favorites are doing good. That's all I need to know.
They're doing good. That's really all I need because honestly, they're my only favorite. At the moment, we've seen how this whole deep tea and shake thing has played out. Like it was different in the pods, but as we got to them outside the pods, it was like, oh no, this is bad.
Yeah.
Kyle and Shayna are already off the board. Nick and Danielle just keep fucking fighting. Mm-hmm. It's just Shayna and Natalie otherwise.
Pretty much everyone that we get to know outside the pods, I'm like, yeah, this is not it, except for Jared and Ayana. And I wasn't even too sure about them in the beginning, to be honest.
No, but we really weren't.
No. So it says something if they're now our favorites and everybody else can fuck off.
Yes. So what date was next? I don't remember. Was it Deep Tea?
It was Deep Tea and Shake. So Shake decides to arrange massages. He's still very much a parrot. I'm not attracted. Like every single ITM, he's like, I'm not attracted. I'm going to do this to see if I can be attracted. I'm not attracted. I'm going to do this to see if it can be attracted. So they have a pretty romantic massage night. Like a masseuse comes, gives them massages. It's nice. And then they have like dinner. And I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention because I was like, this is the same conversation over and over.
It is the same hell? Thing. It is hell, honestly. We're in the bar under hell, and it's not even the fun bar. It's the bar that only has Appleton Genesis. It's the bar that only has Genesis. That's where we're at right now.
No. Exactly. Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
Exactly. So the note I have here is that Deep Tea is trying to get him to feel and not think as much, and he admits to pushing her away, which is obvious, right? Because he's in his head about this. He's so caught up in his headcanon perfect marriage image situation that he's not actively opened himself up to this experience. And what we thought were changes in him in the pod to propose to Deep Tea are obviously just fake. It was obviously just a lie and a facade.
Yeah, because she was like, I don't know if this was the part actually, but there was at some point that she was like, I want that same excitement. I want what I got out of the pods. And it's just as soon as he got out of pods, it was like that was nowhere to be found, like at all.
Yeah.
Honestly, it started when she mentioned babies. And then all of a sudden it was like, I don't know if I'm attracted to her. It was like,
listen,
are you sure about that?
This is why you can't trust men in a man. Just flip the script real quick. He just flipped real that script on quick. Her so fast.
I know. It was like you cannot give men any credit whatsoever. You cannot believe a single thing a man says. I swear to God, do not believe a single thing.
Not
believe what they do, not what they say. Even if they say and they have the best intentions, it's not. Believe what they do. That was all I had to say about them, to be honest.
Yes, let's move on to the next couple. Next corner. It's the date that Natalie plans for Shane. Remember, she was supposed to plan him a romantic date to prove that she loves him. So she did that. She did that.
Just when will my sis Natalie be released from the shackles of proving herself?
Not today. Not on this date. Because she said she feels like they're already married while they're on this date. So the shackles have not been released on this date. Absolutely not.
They admit to being each other's best friends too, I think. And I'm just like, this man is not your best friend, girl. He's not. He's a fucking asshole. She likes him.
Yeah, she likes him, I guess. She said she loved him or whatever.
I don't really have anything else to say about that, to be honest. I think this is all like one of their last dates, right?
Yeah, it's 2 days before the wedding, so it's the last date. I think the one thing I will say that it's obvious that she has come out of her shell a lot throughout this process. Like, I think being with someone like Shane has forced her to be more open, as toxic as Shane is. I think that it has forced her to be more open and more overt displays of affection and care. And she seems to be in love. He does seem to love her. Here's the thing. They seem to love each other. It's just a shit pairing. Maybe it's a not the right time situation. Maybe it's just that this person is like some kind of, what do you call that? Twin, what's the one that, he's a twin flame, is the one that you're not supposed to deal with?
The karmic. Yeah. I mean, you can be with your twin flame, but it's a fucking lot. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, it's a lot. Or a karmic soulmate. Oh yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. I was wondering if a lot of these people were like karmic soulmates or something, because they do not seem to be getting along, but they really want to make it work. But that's how I feel with Natalie and Shane. You definitely can tell they love each other. They want to be with each other, but it's not exactly healthy. Like, it's not. It's like a perfect example of unhealthy love.
Yes.
If you call it that.
Yeah. Bell Hooks would say this is not love. So just saying, just put that out there. Bell would say this is not love based on what's happening in this situation. But it feels like some kind of karmic pairing. It's just there's something where it's like they're drawn to each other. Mm-hmm. They care for each other very deeply, but it's just not right. Yes. It's like they're supposed to teach each other lessons as opposed to actually be together forever.
Exactly. But Natalie leaves this date just 1,000% sure she's going to say yes to Shane on her wedding day. And I was like, oh, Lord, send me a miracle.
Send me a miracle, Lord. Send me something for Blatna Winya, because when I want it.
No, my good sis Natalie deserves better.
better for her.
And so they're both thinking, okay, like, we can do this. This is good. And then we move on to the other toxic couple. Nick and Danielle.
Quarrelisha. Listen, just quarrel. Forever quarrel, forever argument, forever excitement. I don't want that. Quarrelisha and our little man. I'm tired. Literally, my note is pool date, underwhelming, planning to spend time together, shrug. That's my whole note. I don't care. I'm tired of them.
Yeah, we didn't really get... This was one date where they did not argue. And I was like, oh my God, a date where they don't argue? Like, what? You can see Danielle's really making the effort to not be in her head and not make shit a big deal when it's not supposed to be a big deal. So I was like, okay, progress. She's not arguing. But then I forget what they talk about. I think they talk about how Nick isn't as aggressive as she thought he would be. Like, he's a lot more reserved in his feelings or reserved in his, like, approach. That's only the real thing I remember from their little pool date or whatever. But they seem to leave off on a good note, no argument. So I was like, okay. And then after that, it's just bachelor and bachelorette parties, and the couples will not see each other again until the weddings. So it's happening, yes, people.
It's happening. We're getting to that point. So do you want to do the bachelorette party first or the bachelor party first?
We can do the bachelorette first. I don't have much to say about the bachelorette. I just feel like it was funny seeing them both, because the bachelor party was like, the men were like, yeah, party, da-da-da. And the bachelorette party was like, oh my God, we're talking about our feelings. What do we think about our men? Are we going to say yes? So the women were like talking out like how they feel. And it was a lot more, I don't want to say serious, but it made more sense to me. Like, oh, okay, this is the bachelorette party on Love is Blind. It makes sense. And then the men were like, what a party.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So the bachelorette party is like a riverboat with, I think, cruising the, what's that river in Chicago? Where they dump green things in to make it green for St. Patrick's Day.
The big one. I don't know, honestly.
Yeah, they're
the
on
one
that river.
Shane and Kyle were walking by. Yes.
That one. Yeah, exactly. The big one. I've actually been to the spot, by the way, where she broke up with him. I've been there before.
You have?
I have. I recognized it. I was like, cool. Ooh, girl, I know exactly where that is. A nice restaurant by there. Anyway, so they're doing this riverboat thing. So it's their friends and their siblings and besties, things like that. So Natalie is telling her people that she's for sure a yes. Like, she's absolutely going to say yes to Shane. This is perfect. This is her dream come true. It's fabulous. Their relationship is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if you say so. Anyway.
Exactly. It was like, this is braggy to me.
It seems not quite right. Mm-hmm. But then you see Deep T talking to Ayana and telling Ayana and her girls that Shake has doubts. And Ayana said that she can see them together, which I was just, that makes sense if you consider the fact that Shakes considers Deep T to be his best friend. You can see them together, like, culturally. He seems to have some kind of affinity for her, even if it's not physical. Mm-hmm. There is some kind of connection there. But Deep T also hints at some discomfort, that she may also be having doubts because of Shake's doubts, which we know later on, like, we find out at the reunion what all those doubts were and what was actually happening. So this is just like a teaser where I can't wait to hear what happens when she finds out what he says about her. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, Deep T talks about Shake being like her best friend. And I was like, are you sure about that? But I like that she acknowledges that, you know what, there are these issues and can he really do this? Because she's not like Natalie. She's not, oh my God, I'm in love. I want to say yes. He's my best friend. We're going to get married. This is the perfect man. Da, 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 da. She's like, nah, this man got flaws. Do I want him? I want somebody who wants me. Is that him? And I was like, girl, ask those questions. Ask them, please. Yes. I was so happy that she was just second guessing, basically. Because this entire time, we hadn't really seen her take on things. We've seen Shake repeatedly be like, am I attracted? Am I not attracted? Am I attracted? It was like we were caught on a loop with this couple. We weren't really seeing Deep T's thoughts up until now. Then at this point, it was like, oh, so this is how she had been feeling. I wish we knew this before.
Like, yeah.
I wish they didn't paint her as like, la-di-da, we'll see what happens. So now we see like she's taking power back and it's in her hands.
The editing is definitely cut a certain way. And we find out, I'll tease this from the reunion. We find out that Shake said much worse things.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned this before, that's being on the forums, whatever. But they admit that at the reunion, that he got a green edit. So You know, it's fine. It's fine. We press on. We get to Mallory. Mallory says that she's a yes. And that surprised the fuck out of me.
Me too, because
I was like, a yes to what?
What do you say yes to?
Yes to the dress? You already did that. What is this yes for?
This was so surprising, especially like knowing how they started off in the beginning. Remember in the beginning when she just could not hide her body language whatsoever? And it was so obvious that she did not like Sal and she was not into Sal. All of a sudden, she's saying yes to Sal. She is just so in love. Sal is her soulmate. Like, she sees so many things in him that she doesn't see in other people. And I'm like, where did this girl come from?
I don't know where she was hiding all this time, but she came out the day before the wedding, which makes sense.
I guess. I don't know. Especially considering, like, they had a whole argument and there was a whole thing and this woman showed up at his sister's. I was like, from that moment, I was like, it would be a no. But she somehow looked past all of that. I guess the ukulele really did its thing. I don't know, the ukulele and the prawn pasta did its thing, I guess. That's how you get away with shit.
Sure. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead. And so we go on to Danielle, who we know for sure is a yes. Even though she's picking these arguments, I literally had Danielle is neurotic, but a yes. But Danielle is worried that he will say no. And I'm like, you should be worried because the way you've been treating this man on camera that we can see, I'm not saying that he's perfect either. Like I said, this is just based on what the editing looks like. The way you've been treating this man, he probably should have broken up with you before we even got to this point.
Exactly. It's, if I had to go off of this edit, why would he say yes? Like, you've been terrorizing this man for weeks. Why in the world would he say yes? So she is rightfully nervous. And I think she's looking back, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't have argued about having arguments. Maybe we shouldn't have argued when I went to my parents' house. Maybe we shouldn't have argued when we were picking out cake for our wedding. Like, she's going back, oh shit, maybe I did this to myself.
Yeah, but obviously we don't want her to be insecure about this moment, right? Nick seems to be a pretty solid yes as well, which we'll get to at the bachelor party. But in the same breath, it's just, yeah, this anxiety is normal, cold feet prior to the wedding. But also, you treated that man real badly.
Exactly.
So, you have a right to be worried. But it's okay. Then we go to Ayana, because Ayana and Deep Dee are talking. I know that Ayana must have had someone there with her, but like it wasn't her mother. We weren't really zeroing in on who her friends were that were there with her. Mm-hmm. So she's talking to Deep Dee and she's telling Deep Dee that she's a 6 or a 7 out of 10 and that Jared's at a 9 or a 10 out of 10. And so she's just trying to settle in. But I think that at this point we can tell it's just anxiety. It's just nerves. Mm-hmm. It's not that she doesn't want to marry this man. She's just worried. About how their marriage is going to go. So she's having future problems the day before the wedding, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. She's, can I trust this man to be the person he said he's going to be? Basically, it's like the trust-ish, especially with Jarrett knowing that he got to change his single man ways. She's like, oh no, I ain't got no proof yet.
Yeah.
And she's wondering if their like lifestyles are going to match up or whatever. But she's still thinking about it. We leave off with her kind of being on the fence too.
Yeah, she struggles because she feels like she was a second choice. And it's obvious what it's only been a month since Mexico happened, okay? So not even counting the pods, it's been a month since Mexico. So as much as we know that Jarrett and Mallory aren't in anything, they didn't even have any conversation at the beach party that we saw, which took place back in Chicago, it's still just like that anxiety. Like there is, he says he is sure, but what if we go through with this and he decides he wanted Mallory instead of me? Right? That's normal for this process.
So I think that wraps up. Is that all of the bachelorettes?
Yeah. That's all the bachelorettes. Okay. So now we go to the bachelor party, which was at Wrigley Field, and the boys had a party bus. So the girls got this very nice river cruise. And I think they also have like pictures of the guys on the river cruise, by the way. It's not just like a thing.
Yeah.
These like big cutouts of the men and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. But the guys are getting like the Chicago dream date, which is you and your boys batting balls at Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's the thing. I think the bachelorette party was a lot more elegant than the bachelor party. The bachelor party was a party bus to Wrigley Field and drinking beer, hitting some balls. That's what they did for their bachelor party.
And grinding on that pole on the bus. Don't forget the grinding on the pole on the bus. That was a thing too, okay?
Yes, that happens. So the men do their thing. They're hitting the balls. I think the only thing to note here is that Sal, who is not athletic whatsoever, almost hit a home run. He had got some really good hits in. Shane played baseball in college and he couldn't hit any of the balls. And he was so fucking pissed off. Like, it was so funny. This man threw a fucking tantrum. This grown ass 30-year-old man threw a fucking tantrum because he couldn't hit a baseball. And that was hilarious. I was dying laughing the entire time.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. It was actually disturbing. Like, if I were Natalie watching this back and I got married to Shane, seeing that behavior at the bachelor party, that would have definitely unsettled me. Because at this point, everything is being aired almost a year after everything happened. So seeing this back, I would have been very scared. Just saying. It was very upsetting how he was behaving, but it was also fucking hilarious, like Lex said, because the man hit air. He was playing baseball like I would play baseball. I'm not a sports ball person, y'all. I can't do it, okay? My sport was swimming. I did synchronized swimming in high school. I cannot connect bats and balls. That's not how this works, okay? That's not how this works at all.
I worked in sports for years, and I can't do shit. I'm not the least athletic person ever, I promise you. Listen, it was amazing.
It's, you know what I'm saying? So this whole thing is happening. And I think the worst part is that Shane was making fun of Sal. And then Sal hit those great balls. And then Shane couldn't hit shit. And so the guys were joking about it with him. They were ripping him about it. But you know Shane, he has an ego. And he's a sensitive, like, fucking Princess of the Pea. So the second you say something that might sound like it's not, I love you, Shane, he just starts internally crying, but outwardly raging.
Raging, throwing a tantrum, acting like a 2-year-old because he's so fucking insecure.
So he threw that bat. Remember, he threw the bat as well. I was like, what the fuck is going on, bro?
Yeah. And in his ITM, he was so upset because he was like, I couldn't hit the ball. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, I'm so excited to marry Natalie.
He's also so fucking drunk. Like, he's so fucking drunk in this moment. He's like, I'm going to say yes. I love Natalie. I can't wait to marry her. And I was like, please, not with that energy, bro. Like, not
exactly,
with that energy.
Exactly. He's like, whatever. That's all. This is all that matters. I'm getting married to Natalie. That's all that matters. This is totally not bothering me whatsoever. That's exactly what he said, y'all. Don't check.
That is it. And now that we see Nick's hot friend as well. So Lex's boyfriend, woo! Nick's hot friend happens on this date.
I was like, hold on. So Nick's talking and you see his friends and you're like, okay. And then you see, I think his name is Luis.
Yes.
And I was like, hold up. That's Nick's friend? If you don't know what Nick looks like, Nick is like the blandest white man that you could find. And then Luis is like this fine ass, tatted, gauged up man. And you're like, where did you come from?
Listen, they must be college homies, I swear.
Must be or something. But I was like, why didn't I get him on the show? Anyway, so I was totally, they were talking about whether Nick's ready or not, but I was totally distracted. So I was like, wait, this man is fine as fuck. Why is nobody talking about this?
They're not gay, Lex. That's why they're not talking about it.
I know. I'm just dramatic as hell.
But it's just so funny. We're like, I think as women, even when you are straight, you're always admiring other women to a point. You're just kind of like, wow, that girl is hot. I wish I could be that. Or I wish I could wear that the way she's wearing it.
Yeah.
And I guess obviously I'm not the best barometer for this since y'all know I love the ladies. So probably not the best gauge for what is actually straight here. But just saying. That women, that's not true. Okay, guys go gay for Chris Hemsworth and like Chris Hemsworth. It's all about the super pump muscular dudes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Luis is definitely hitting the female gaze for sure in this episode. Sure. And he's putting Nick through his paces. He's so, you sure you're ready for this? Like, before you went to this, I think you get married. I'm pretty sure you said you wouldn't get married either, but here we are. So you sure this is what you want? And all the guys are just looking at this play between Luis and Nick. Oh, shit. Luis is actually like speaking his mind and going in this. And Nick is, yeah, like I have doubts. Of course I have doubts because of like the fighting and stuff. But like, it's a yes for me. And Luis is, if you say so.
Because Luis got common sense. But I know they were grilling Nick a little bit. I don't know if they were grilling. Was Jarrett getting grilled by his friends? I can't remember who else was grilling who.
It was Jarrett as well, but it wasn't like a grilling per se. He was telling them that he admits that Ayana is different. So like he and Mallory were very similar people and like how they operated, business-minded, entrepreneurship, whatever, and that they have a lot of similarities. Mm. But that Ayana is a different person from him and that he loves her and he hopes that she says yes. And I think we don't really get to see Jared's friends talking as much aside from like when he goes out, but they were the same friends who was with him at the tux fitting and the same friend at the bachelor party. But pretty much Jared's like, Mallory and I were too similar. Ayana is my perfect match. I hope she says yes. And you could see the add-on at the end was because I'm a ball like a bitch if she don't. Like you could see that add-on was there at the end. You could see it. You could see it. Imagine your father is marrying y'all and she says no.
Ooh, Lord. I would be so embarrassed.
So embarrassing.
God. But yeah, we don't get to see a lot of the emotional conversations with the men. It's more like the highlights with Sal hit, you know, almost a home run. Shane sucked. Nick's hot friend Luis was grilling him. Jared was talking with his friends. And then bam, on to the next day.
Yep, it is wedding day. And the first wedding that we see is going to be Nick and Danielle's. So do you want to cut it here? Because the wedding extends over the beginning, the end of episode 9 and the beginning of episode 10. So do you want to cut here and do sweet and sours and then just pick up for the wedding?
Yeah, we probably should, because once we start talking about the weddings, I just want to get into all of them. And they cut right at before we get an answer from one of them. So we don't want to end off there. So yeah, we'll stop here and talk about the episode, sweet and sours. Okay, let's do sweet moments. I'm going to say my sweet moment from episode 9 would be, I'm going to say, Jared and Ayana going on date night. Ayana actually leaving her house and Jared taking her out. I think that's probably the sweetest part of the episode for me. What about you, Jen?
I'm going to be typical and say girl power. I loved that conversation between Deep T and Ayana. So as much as I think Jared and Ayana are super sweet, I think Deep T and Ayana and their conversations and being able to be open and kind to one another and just like holding space for each other in a space where they're both unsure for different reasons. I loved that. That was my sweet moment.
Yes, yes. I love that too. I love Deep T and Ayana together. They're like the best women on the show. And I've tweeted that before too. Like they're the absolute best women on the show, hands down. Okay. Sour moments. A lot to choose from. Yes. I'm going to say my sour moment. You really got a lot to choose from here. But I'm going to say my sour moment is... I'm trying to share out the sour moments evenly. Some people get them more than others.
Yes, it's impossible in this series to dole them out equally. We've already overrun the sour moments this whole season.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Like, our sour moments usually only vary between Shane, Shake, Shayna, and Danielle. I'm going to say, okay, so what soured the episode overall for me? I'm going to say Shake, because he's just recording over and over about how he's not attracted to DT. At this point, I don't think it adds anything to the episode whatsoever. So every time I hear it, I'm like, we get it. Move on. Like, you know, and then you hear DT signing, oh, why haven't we been hearing this? So I'm going to say my sour moment is Shake and the editors for giving us that shit over and over again.
Yeah, fair. I definitely agree that. But for me, the sourest moment was fucking salary. Sound that fucking ukulele. The most annoying situation in the world. Like, I was just like, God, no, please. My fiance is hot like Beyonce. Suck a dick, bro. No, I don't want to have to deal with that. No, annoying. Annoying.
Yeah, this ukulele was the last ukulele. I was like, yo, can we get something else? Do you know how to play anything else?
Play a fucking piano, bro. Play a piano.
Play a drum. Like a violin. No. Like the something that strings you can understand. Listen, you understand the strings.
No more string instruments. Listen, play a drum. Play a piano. Shake some maracas. Take that triangle. Something else. But a fucking string instrument. Come and tired of you. Tired.
Right. Yes, I was tired too. I was like, "Sal, you gotta pull out something else besides the ukulele. You can't just pull out the ukulele when you're a fuckboy all the time." So that was Love Is Blind episode 9, most of it. So now we're gonna cover the weddings, all of the weddings. Oh my God, yes. We get to see who ends up with who, and then probably at the end we should talk about which one surprised us the most.
Yes, that works for me. Absolutely. But of course, we ended episode 9 with Nikki L's wedding, Nick and Danielle. Mm-hmm. They both seem unsure. the day of the wedding. With the fights and everything that's happened, they're both a bit unsure. But Danielle's mom is very sure for her and worried that they won't work out. And I think like Danielle's mom pretty much was saying, like, I'm worried that Nick won't say yes and that they will not have time to grow into their relationship the way they need to, which is fair. We can see Nick and Danielle love each other. It's obvious that there is a deep caring and understanding for each other there based on all the connections we've seen. Like, they're the couple that's like sits close together, holds hands. There's never a moment where they're not tracking each other with their eyes or like their body language. It's obvious that there is care there. And Danielle's mother is worried that if Nick says no at the altar, that Danielle is going to completely shut down and will not be able to explore the relationship outside of matrimony. So I think that's like the big concern. But it also looks like it's a hot day outside, which is relevant because hoo-wee,
the sweat. The wedding was literally hot. It was a hot wedding. So we see that Danielle's getting ready. Danielle looks gorgeous in her dress, I have to say. Like, for somebody who is low-key an emotional terrorist, like, she looks stunning. And she says a couple of things, which kind of, for me, I'm like, girl, that's what you worried about? I feel like, because she says things like, oh, like, I hope Nick says yes when he sees me, when he sees me. So everything's about image. Like, she wants to look her, like, absolute best so that Nick has no choice but to say yes. And I'm like, girl, Nick's not going to say yes based on how good you look. Like, he's going to say yes based on whether you're a good team. And I feel like she's so focused on looks and so focused on looking the part that she forgets about being a good person. Like, for me, that's when I saw that. I was like, oh, this is what you're focused on? Like, girl, you look great. You look stunning. You put a lot of effort into how you look. But that's not why he's going to marry you. So, good luck.
Yeah, I think Nick has already fucked you, okay? Yes. If it was about looks, it would already be. And I hate to be crass in this moment, but it's true. He's already fucked you. He's already seen you naked. He's already seen you all dressed up. He's already seen these moments. So you being concerned with your appearance in this moment, it must be a defense mechanism. It must be nerves. It must be whatever, because she's genuinely concerned that he might say no. Yeah. A part of her is concerned. But she looks gorgeous going down the aisle. She says yes first. So then it's Nick's turn. Nick also, dun-dun, says yes. And then we get to see his sweaty dick through his suit.
Ah! Did you really? I don't think I know.
Listen, the sweat was like on pubic region. It was just sweat. And I was like, what is going on here? Was he so, maybe he was so nervous that he was sweating a lot. Maybe he's a nervous sweater, but it was wet.
He was sweating bullets. Like, he had tissue on top of tissue just wiping away sweat. His face was so red. Like, you can tell he was so nervous. But now I got to go back and look for sweaty dick.
And pum pum did wet. Okay? His pum pum was wet with sweat.
His pum pum was wet. He had the wet.
Right? Like, it was wet. So I was so distracted. Like, I actually had to rewatch that moment, like, where they walk down the aisle again and everything like a million times. I was like, wow, this is so much sweat. I didn't think this was possible. Like, at the wedding too. Wow, okay. You wouldn't have worn like compression shorts or lined your pants with something to make sure there's no awkward moments or anything.
And he did have on like an all white suit, right? Was it white? Was it linen?
Grayish.
I remember him
whatever. It was a light color.
Yeah.
It was a light color.
So it did not do him any favors. What's on a hot ass day? Whatsoever.
Nope. But you know what? Happy for them. Shout out to them. They said yes.
Mm-hmm. They're married.
If you like it, I love it.
That was not what I have said, but shout out to Nick. He did what he thought was best. Let's see. Let's hope they last long.
Yeah, I want every couple who gets married to last, just because it would be so annoying to get married and then have to get divorced after the show. It just feels like it would be annoying. I don't like to waste time
like
that.
Exactly. To announce your marriage in such a way that to get divorced would be a thing. Yes. Okay, so we have that out of the way. So we got one couple married so far.
Yes.
Then the next marriage, unless there's anything else that you wanted to cover from this marriage. No. Yeah,
listen, I have three sentences, and I've said all of them about Nikia's wedding. I've said all of them already. It's good. I'm good.
Yeah,
I think it's because all the other ones, so the other four were a lot more exciting, if that makes sense, quote unquote exciting, in terms of will they, won't they, what's happening, what are we doing, kind of.
Because you genuinely have zero idea who's going to say yes and who doesn't.
Do you want to do the white people first?
Yes, that actually would make a lot more sense. White people or the half white?
Yeah, the couple is interracial. It's Shane and Natalie are interracial. So he's white.
Girl.
This is a hot mess. I'm not even going to lie. Oh, my God.
Context for this moment. So context is the bachelor party is the night before the wedding. The couples do not spend that night together. They spend this night separately. So from 2 days before the wedding, they have, or like the morning of the bachelorette party, they have not seen each other. Okay? That's the context. But they're still allowed to talk and share their feelings and be all lovey-dovey if they want to, whatever. And so what does Shane do after bombing at baseball in front of his bros? He pretty much calls Natalie and is like, fuck you, bitch. I hate you. You've ruined my life. Like, I don't want nothing to do with you. Like, fuck all that mess. And so she's going into her wedding day bawling her eyes out because Shane was mean to her.
The night before, not a couple of nights, literally the night before. It opens with her talking about how they got in an argument the night before and Shane probably had a little too much to drink. And then neither of them really wanted to get into details about what the argument was about, especially Shane. And Shane especially didn't want to get into details because he was a piece of shit and he knew how it would look. So he was like, I don't really want to talk about it. We have that. Like, we have the day starts with that. It's like before Natalie was so sure. Now she's not so sure anymore. Shane is, I'm not going to lie, he's tweaked out. I can't say he's completely aware of what's going on.
No, he's also probably hungover as well. He has a lot going on. I think that this moment, like, you could tell that Natalie still loves him, but the fight has her shook because of how nasty he was to her. That's what she's really saying. Like, he was really rude to her. And I guess he said that he didn't think they should get married. That's the vague conclusion that they're sharing with the team. Mm-hmm. And it stemmed from his insecurity and her not feeding into his ego. Because, like, she got a little set up and he's like, well, maybe we shouldn't get married then. But Shane was obviously a monster in this moment. So Natalie's unsure. She's just crying, getting ready for her wedding. Not out of joy, but out of pain.
Exactly, which is, you don't want a wedding to start off with the bride crying out of pain. But meanwhile, Shane's at the altar, and I swear this man is looking around like he has an itch he's not allowed to scratch. Like, his head is just going all over the place. Somebody in our mentions told us that he was standing there like a zombie about to turn. And I was like, yes, like he got a zombie bite and he was turning. And I was like, that's exactly how he was standing at the altar. Like, I'm not even exaggerating, y'all. Like, usually we exaggerate, but I am not exaggerating. If you watch that part of the episode, that man looks like he just got bit by a zombie and he's looking around to see how much time he has left before he turns.
Yeah. It's a twitch and the looking and the uncertainty. And we find out much later on, much, much later on, like probably at the reunion, why exactly, or was it the reunion or in the after moments? Whatever. I'm gonna say we find out later why he was so twitchy. But in this moment, he is just twitchy. He's doing these things. It's very weird. I don't like this. Okay. I really don't like this. It's odd. Natalie's parents are also so supportive, so loving. Her dad was just like, I love you, baby girl. Whatever you want to do, I support you. I just want you to be happy.
Like, her dad was so cute.
So sweet.
It was like, why are you interested in Shane? You know what her dad told her? Her dad told her, you are the greatest accomplishment of my life. So whatever makes you happy makes me happy. I'm so proud of you. And I was like, oh my God, what?
I held a thug tear. Yes. I had a thug tear in that moment. I will admit it. I had a crybaby thug tear. Just trickled down my cheek. I didn't feel that one.
The only man who will let make me cry. I swear to God. But her dad is so sweet. So sweet. And I was like, woman, like, what do you see in Shane? Like, you have a father who is so sweet and kind and loving and accepting, and you're going to go walk down the aisle with this shit? Girl, what are you doing? So she has that moment. Her parents are actually super supportive, and they're just like, whatever makes you happy, like, we are here for you. And I found that was very refreshing, because, like, when you see representation of Asian parents, especially Asian moms, they tend to be more aggressive, more my way or the highway type of vibe. And so I love seeing representation of Asian moms who are just very supportive, because that's the only experience I know of Asian moms in real life. Like, they're just very sweet, very supportive. I've never seen that super, what do they call it? They call it tiger mom, like my way or the highway, achieve. Like, I've never really seen that. So it's nice to see like her mom was like super caring, super nice, super supportive. And her dad just gets a standing O for me.
Exactly. Natalie's dad is the champion of this episode. Just say, no, the champion of this entire episode. Mm. We're at the altar. We're doing the thing. Shane says, I do. Natalie says, I don't. She can't do this.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Shane storms off. Like, he is, he's hella upset. I think it's more embarrassment than anything else. Because I don't know how you can be screaming at your fiance the night before your wedding, like 12 hours before your wedding, and think she's going to be comfortable marrying you.
Exactly.
And you know what? I'll spill the tea here. Natalie said, I don't know if it was an interview or at the reunion later on, that they had already agreed not to do this.
Really?
But because his family was coming in from out of town, they had to go through with the wedding portion.
Oh, really? I didn't know that part. But you can
tell
he must
have been an interview then.
Yeah, because I didn't hear that in the reunion. But you can tell that he definitely stormed off out of embarrassment. And she tried to like whisper to him, I'm so sorry, like, I think we can be great. Like, she was trying to be like, we can still be together. We don't have to get married. And he was kind of just, fuck you. You embarrass me. Bye. Like, just stormed off. And so they don't really end on a goodish note. We come back to them later. But do you want to talk about coming back to them later?
Yeah. Anybody who broke up will come back to that. They talked briefly, but he was not in a space for that. No. She's like apologizing and she's saying they have a lot of issues to work through. And this whole process has shown them that they have a lot of issues to work through individually, that she does still want to be with him. She does love him, but she cannot say yes to marriage today, which is not unreasonable. Just saying.
No, not at all. But I'm so happy she said no. But I was like, girl, let it go. This man is not for you. You're having so many issues and you met him a month ago. Like, girl, stop. But then later we go back to them and here we get more information on like why she felt the way she felt. Because they're talking about the argument and he's like, you know, I didn't mean it. And she was like, so you didn't mean that you hate me and I ruined your life? And I was like, holy shit. He said, what?
Yes, he did.
What the world? No wonder he didn't want to talk about it. But it's like we said, like he said he hated her. She ruined his life. Like he would be better off without her. And then expected her to say yes, dude. No, just no. I'm so happy she got out of that. I am ridiculously happy. I was like, hell fucking yeah. Natalie dropped Shane. I love that.
Yeah, obviously the setup is that they're still going to be together. At some point, they're still going to work things out more than likely and try to date after. Look what happened with Damien and Giannina in season one, right?
Like, that was... Oof.
So the setup is that they probably are going to try to date each other outside of this. But okay, we say fine. I'm done with Shane and Natalie. I don't want to talk about them no more. I'm over it, right?
You
I'm
don't
over
have this to mess. Until the reunion.
We're good. So now I want to go on to Malvador, okay?
Yes.
Malvador is... It's an awkward thing because Sal is like a little dowdy. And Mal's family didn't even show up to the wedding except for her sister.
Who said she wasn't going to. The one who wouldn't give her a blessing.
I remember also, like, Mallory's parents are still in the picture. She also has several brothers who didn't show up for the wedding. So it's just like, it's telling that she only had one family member on her side
at the wedding. I just assumed that her family didn't live in Chicago. But now I'm wondering if they did and they were just like, yeah, we're not doing this shit. I don't know.
Yeah. And Mal is like with her sister, like she's all in and she's about to say yes to Sal and it's going to be great. And Sal is just, I'll know when I get up there. Sal is just, I don't know. I'll know when I get up there. And I'm like, that does not bode well for this situation.
It does not. And this for me is when I knew I was like, I was on to Sal. Because before this, he was all with the ukulele, like serenading her. And they was all, when last we left off with them, they was all lovey-dovey, like talking about it. They seemed pretty sure. All of a sudden, it's a wedding day. Sal has doubts. I'm like, Sal, where did these doubts come from? Like, they do the flashback to Jarrett. And like, Jarrett isn't even in the picture anymore. Jarrett isn't even a thing for her anymore. He's all about Ayana. So what are you talking about, Sal? You mean the one time y'all argued when that woman came over when she wasn't supposed to come over? Really? Is that why you doubting it? Is that why you doubt Sal? Because you wasn't doubting before. He was not doubting before. So mm-hmm. he did
Listen,
not.
No, hold on. I'm going to tell you, like, this. I told you that the closer Mallory got to him is the further away Sal was moving. I saw it clear. Mm-hmm. He would show up for, like, these big moments, like the ukulele and the whatever. But you could just tell that he was holding himself at arm's length. I could see it. She's, I love you. I can't wait to be with you. And he's, my fiance's hot like Beyonce.
Where can I get more ukulele in here? I'm surprised there was no ukulele at the wedding, to be honest with you.
I would have fought him.
But he did get her a mariachi band. So a mariachi band played them in, which I thought was cute. And so they get up to the altar and Mallory says yes. Oh, wow. I was surprised Mallory said yes, first of all, because from the beginning, she did not seem that sure about Sal. But she was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to ride through it. I say yes. Sal says, nah, sorry.
Yeah. And then he makes a speech, like, apologizing for this whole
everyone
thing.
That showed up.
And I was just like, okay, are you trying to get an Oscar here or something?
Exactly.
Like, is this an Academy Award performance? This is very weird.
Yeah.
And actually, did Mallory even say, I think it went to Sal first, didn't it?
Did
it? I don't even think Mallory said yes. Because, actually, no, Mallory didn't say yes. It just went to Sal first. So they went to Sal first.
Okay, yeah. And he said
and Sal
no.
said
right,
no.
Right.
And so the reason why I have a note about that is because Mallory admits in her ITM that she might have said no, but we'll never know.
Oh.
So, yeah. Mm. She might have said no once it got to her, but we don't know. And it felt like they were both not on the same page, where
Definitely.
They had talked about possibly saying no, but it wasn't like a foregone conclusion. That's what was going to happen. And so it was more of a let's talk outside of this. Let's try to figure this out outside of this if our relationship can still work. And Sal was just like, meh, to that whole idea.
Yeah, he was like,
no.
We'll see. So, yeah, the overall vibe I got was that Mal was crushed. I think that's why I thought she said yes, because she looked crushed. And I'm like, I totally understand. She didn't even want to fuck this nigga in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was saying no to her. How dare he? How dare he? It was so weird to see how their relationship flipped, because at first it seemed like he liked her more than she liked him. And then towards the end, it seemed like she liked him more than he liked her. And it was just so weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, afterwards, they're talking and she's, okay, so is there a possibility of us continuing this, like, beyond the wedding? What are you thinking? Do you still want to be together? Do you not? And he's kind of like, let's just see how things go. And I'm like, sir, what? He's like, we'll see. I was like, so
Give
you
no
didn't
answer.
Fucking love this woman at all.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Nope.
Fuck that man. Fuck him. That's all I have
that's
to say
okay.
about Sal.
I mean, at this point, yes, that's really all it is. I don't think Mallory is that great either. I have weird feelings about Mallory.
Yeah,
Sal for sure is a piece of shit. So it's okay. Let's move on to the other piece of shit, our favorite piece of shit, Shake.
Oh,
now,
Lord.
The most important thing is that Shake and DT are having an Indian wedding-ish. It's like it's a cross between an Indian wedding and like a traditional Christian ceremony-ish. Because indie weddings usually have a lot of parts to it. Like there's several days of events that happen and it's a lot of things. So this is not that. This is just a very Americanized, stylized version of this.
Mm-hmm.
And their wedding looks beautiful. Like
it is.
Shake is still harping in his ITMs that like he isn't attracted to her and physically like right before the fucking wedding, which really pisses me off.
Yeah.
And Deep T is getting ready with her parents and they're obviously being so loving and supporting. And we see her henna. I only see the ones in her hand. I didn't see the ones on her feet. And I was like, I wish we had gotten to see like her henna ceremony. I wish we had gotten to see that intimate moment with her getting her henna done with her girls and all that stuff. Because I didn't remember seeing it at the bachelorette party. So she might have gotten it right after that. I don't know.
I get what you mean. Like we just dropped in and she was already ready. She looked gorgeous. She was already in the sari. She already had the henna. She already had the headpiece. And I was like, aw. She looks gorgeous, but I wish we saw her getting ready.
Yeah, I wanted to see her family putting on the bindi. I wanted to see all that stuff. That's what I really wanted, that experience. Because I feel as if we don't have very many multicultural, quote unquote, experiences in reality TV wedding-wise. And so I wanted to see more of that. Like, we do see Jewish weddings, but Jewish weddings are also a part of the American ethos. There are a lot of Jewish people in America, so this is not far-fetched. But yeah, I want to see more of that. And Shake seems nervous at the altar. He also seems happy. They have the drummers. They have everything really set up beautifully for this wedding. And I said, I wish we saw more of the wedding and I'd be happy if Shake wasn't a monster, but here we are.
I know, the wedding was so cool, and then you remember it, Shake, and you're like, oh my god, I hope she says no. Like, yes. I'm like, I hope she does not go through with this shit, because yes, that would be terrible. But the wedding's great.
The wedding looks beautiful, and so Deep Sea comes down the aisle. She's glowing in her wedding sari. It's fantastic. The officiant asks her to go first, if she's going to say yes. And she says, no, I'm choosing myself. Pretty much she's like, fuck you, Shake. I know what you've been saying about me. Fuck mm-hmm. you. Fuck everybody mm-hmm. who supports you. I hate you. I'm going to walk down this aisle and choose myself because I'm a bad bitch. She said that, guys. That's a direct quote.
Yes, yes. And she is a bad bitch. You know, she was just quoting facts, really. So then she walks off and the wedding ends. And I was like, and Shake does this thing where he's, oh my God, I'm so relieved. If I said yes, she would have said yes. If I said yes, she would have said yes. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
It's a party. It's a party. Like, I need to cheer. He was the drummer to start playing again. Because here's the thing. Deep T's family leaves right after her. Her family just, like, walks out with her. And Shake's family is just standing there like, we hate you.
Exactly. Because they loved her. And this was the one chance for him to get, like, somebody who's make a wonderful wife and a great addition to their family. And he's a fucking asshole. So, of course, it doesn't happen. So his family's mm-hmm. there like, what the fuck?
And then he's like, oh, I had reservations at Nobu on Saturday anyway. So yes. Like, and I was like, okay, Nobu, this is not 2006. Nobu is not that great.
Any
like,
old person can walk into Nobu now. Come on. So he walks around telling everybody how great he's doing. Meanwhile, Deep D's off talking to her mom, just saying, I know my worth. I deserve more than that. And I was like, yes, you do. Oh, my God. Yes, we are 1 for 4 on the weddings, but 2 for 2 on the making great decisions.
That's women right. Making That's great right. decisions. Listen, and I feel like Shake is just, it was just so hard to watch. I got secondhand embarrassment watching him try so hard. I was just like, oh, this is high key pathetic.
It is. Mm. It was very pathetic. Like, obviously, it's like he is the type of person where image is very important to him. Which is why he could have never appreciated Deep T the way that she needs to be appreciated, which is sad. So this man will probably never know happiness, which is okay with me.
That's fine. No one gives a shit about him anyway. Right. Moving on. We got this trash can fire, this dumpster fire, this piece of shit that stuck on my shoe. Let's move on to our happy couple. Right?
Our favorite
to Jayana. Jayana, you know, it's the wedding day. We find out that Jared's parents are divorced because it was Jared's dad and stepmom that were with him prior to the wedding.
Oh.
I was like, oh, the woman we meet, his stepmom or his actual mom? You know what? I don't care. Doesn't matter. She could be his mother. It's just Jared and his stepmom and their dad. And she says she's sure, like both of them actually, they're sure, they're in love. And they both make a statement, I'm a thug. Thugs don't cry, but like I do.
Yeah.
And both of them are saying the exact so same cute. Things at different times and crying and being emotional about this wedding. And I'm like, okay, this is it. Yeah. This is the thing. I'm going to get a happy ending out of this. Jared seems to have grown. He's crying at the thought of marrying her because he's so fucking happy. Like,
I know. I thought that was so cute. I was like, okay. I get it. I get it. Y'all are the same person almost. Like, this is so cute.
Yeah.
So they clearly, like, love each other and get each other, have the same sayings. I think the funniest part of this was Ayana. I forget who Ayana was talking to, but she was saying, her mom. Yes. So she was saying, all I ask is that he doesn't show up drunk. Meanwhile, cut to Jared with his boys taking shots. And I was like, oh my God, Jared.
But Jared also said she told me not to show up drunk. So like, I gotta.
You know? My thing is like, why do men do this? So these guys were legit just getting ready, but they had their shirts off. Taking shots. Everybody had a shirt on in the beginning. Just so you know, when the boys got there, everybody had a shirt on. Cut to all of them chilling with their shirts off, taking shots. And I was like, why do men always do this shit? It's like you get hot, you don't want to ruin your shirt, but you want to drink still. So you're like, all right, shirts off. We're drinking.
It's true, but alcohol does make you sweat. So it does make sense. They don't want to have the liquor sweats like in the shirts. Yeah, so dude, I get it. True. And also, let's just not pretend as if the show isn't heavily edited. So who knows when the drinks were taking place.
That's true. That's
There's that part.
True. That's awesome.
But it was very sweet. Like, she was just like, I'm a thug who cries. And he's like, thugs cry too. It was just such a sweet moment. Like,
cute.
Running parallel across each other. And then he was also so nervous. I think he was unsure she would say yes. Like, he was nervous. Have I done enough to convince her that how I feel about her, that I'm going to love her and support her and do all these things? And so his dad is at the altar. Her dad is walking her down the aisle. Oh, her mother was also just like, listen, let me know if I need to let that chopper sing on that man, okay? If you want to get out of this wedding, I got your back. And she was like, no, mama, it's okay. I love him or whatever. And I was like, all right, but if you change your mind, baby, you let me know. You let me know. But her dad walks her down the aisle. It's this beautiful moment. And everybody's crying, okay? Everybody's crying. His dad is marrying them. And y'all, they say yes. They do.
They said yes. Two out of five.
If we're going to be real technical, it's 2 out of 8. Because 8 couples got engaged this season, even though we only followed 6. Yeah.
So none of the other couples got married?
Mm-hmm. No, the other two didn't get married. No. Two. So we're just like, two out of eight. 2 out of 8 ain't bad.
Not bad. And we got a happy ending.
We're doing this. We did get a happy ending. They're so happy. They're so in love. They jump the broom. It is gorgeous. It is so beautiful. It is ecstatic. They're doing their ITMs together. They're drinking champagne privately. I'm guessing they're like doing photo stuff more than likely while these ITMs are happening. And they have this little cake cutting. And there's a thing that they say to each other where he's, I got your back like a thong in a butt crack. And I was just like, that's real tight. That's real tight. That's real close. That's real close.
So, but they're so cute together. Honestly, this was the most heartfelt wedding. Like, you could tell the other weddings, like, first of all, let's talk about how the production value of these weddings went up so much from season one. Season one looked like cheap ass weddings in this rented reception hall that was cheap as fuck. And everybody had like pretty much the same decorations. And it looked like they just switched out the weddings one after the other. This one looked like there was actually some thought and intention behind all of the different weddings. They were at different places. So I was like, okay, y'all got some budget. Y'all got some money. Great. But this wedding to me, Gianna's wedding, felt like the most just like heartfelt wedding. Like, everyone there wanted them to be together. They wanted to be together. People were tearing up. Like, it was so cute. Ayana looked gorgeous, by the way. I don't think Ayana has worn a lick of makeup until the wedding. And then I saw her with makeup. I was like, girl, you are fine as fuck. I mean, she always was. But it was like, girl, it was like a whole new side of her to me.
Yes, exactly. It was wonderful, though. I really loved it. Also, another point I forgot to make before, Deep Tea and Shake's wedding. Haseeb was there. Haseeb was in the pods as well. He's the Pakistani guy that didn't end up with anybody. He was also at the wedding. I saw a clip of him. Also, Shake has a hot friend. And he was joking like, oh, yeah, this friend is single, blah, 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 blah. I was like, his friend was like Asian or something. I was like, yeah, I would never want to fuck anyone who's friends with you, but okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Is that for Gianna's wedding? Yes.
That's it. It's just other sweet moments. Just obviously the sweet moment of this episode is Gianna's wedding. This whole sweet moment is Gianna's wedding for me.
For me, it's Natalie's dad. I just love that man. He's wonderful, honestly. Sour moments?
I guess my sour moment is finding out what Shane said to Natalie.
1,000%. Because that was... When you found out, it was like, what the fuck? Why would you say that? Natalie's like such a cool person. I don't know. I feel like she was doing a lot to prove that she was into him and he's just a fucking asshole. So happy she said no. That's another sweet moment for me, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
When she said no. Ooh, yes, listen, girl. Sweet me back.
Also when Deep Tea said no.
That too, yes. Hell yes, sweet me bad. That man did not deserve her. So which wedding surprised you the most? Which answer surprised you the most?
Nick and Danielle, for sure. For sure, that was the most surprising just because of all the trauma we've seen them go through. Like, I've already let go of the immigrants must say yes conversation, which I had earlier on because that's what made the most sense. But everyone's parents were so loving and supportive. I was like, damn, I guess y'all can do whatever you want for real. Couldn't be me, but I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. I was like, Nikki, sure you want to do it if you say so. I'm going to say the most surprising wedding for me was Mal and Sal. Mal and Sal. Because I just, it's just so weird. If you had told me after episode 2 that Sal is going to say no, I would have said you're a fucking liar. But that's exactly what happened. And I was like, wait a minute. No, like, she didn't even really want him like that. No, you had the audacity to say no.
To be honest, it would have been a surprise if you heard that Sal said no.
Because he didn't have no doubts. And then all of a sudden, all these doubts came out of nowhere. And then the ukulele comes out multiple times. So it's like, obviously, you're here for free promo. So that's what I got out of this whole experience. That Sal is there for free promo. Ain't nobody want your ukulele, sir. Go away. Go away.
I guess I can spoil something that it's not talked about at the reunion, but Sal does have a girlfriend now that's not Mallory.
Of course.
He's happy doing... I mean, to be fair, these weddings took place in June last year. So enough time has passed, but Sal has a whole ass girlfriend. He's living his best life, doing his thing. So I don't follow him really. Or do we follow him from the account? Maybe just because he was a person of color, but I don't watch any of his posts. So,
yeah, I don't follow him either on Twitter or nothing. So, fuck him.
Pretty much.
Basically. I wonder if it's the same girl that showed up at his sister's house.
I don't think so. It's a whole different girl, I think.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, it has been 9+ months since the original situation. So, whoever he's dating now, I think her name is Jessica. Mm-hmm. No, it's not Jessica from season 1 either. I checked.
So, yeah. Oh, should we talk about Love is Blind updates of couples that are now getting together?
No. We have to save that for the reunion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we got some tea.
See, if you know, then you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. But there are some updates in the Love is Blind universe that are very interesting. So,
yes. Yes, I will say, I'll give a season 1 update a bit because we've talked about this briefly. Janina from season 1, she is dating Blake Hortzman from Becca's season of The Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah, we talked about
Stagecoach Blake. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah. Did you also know that Mark is about to have another baby?
Wait, what? Oh, my God.
Mark out here about to have a whole other baby.
With the same woman?
I think so. Wow. I don't know the details of who it is. So I've been listening to the first couple of episodes of Lauren's podcast with Netflix and her and Fat Carrie Bradshaw / Chris Burns from The Bachelor podcast. We have the receipts. I don't like it. They don't have chemistry together as hosts. It's not clicking for me. And I think that Lauren does not have a podcast personality, if that makes sense. So she has like a YouTube channel personality, but not a podcast personality. You see what I'm saying? Like she can't really do these interviews and carry these conversations a certain way. And I think that Chris is used to a different podcast environment from The Bachelor podcast with K York City and Jared Friedman or Friedman. Oh, Jared something. Mm-hmm. Who cares? And that's a whole lot of yelling, free for all, talking over everyone to get your point across kind of vibes. So while I think Chris could be a good podcast host, he and Lauren don't have that chemistry. And people are like, oh, well, one person in particular was in my DMs because I made a post about it on the Blatchard's page. I'm like, this podcast ain't it. I've listened to the first 3 episodes and I'm still not engaged. I only listened to it to get the Love is Blind tea. That's really it. I don't care about anything else. And someone was like, oh, it takes at least 10 episodes for a podcast to find its rhythm. And I'm like, that can be true.
10 episodes.
But I'm like, listen, I said, that can be true. It can take some time to get the rhythm into how to podcast, how to make that work. But there's no chemistry between the hosts. There's no rapport between the hosts. And honestly, that's not something that you can learn or fake. In a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, it's like acting. If you're not an actor, you can't get it. So either and you have that rapport or you don't. They don't have that rapport. They're not good together. It's not gelling. It's just a lot missing from this performance. And so I give it a only listen if you have to, but I wouldn't.
If you want the tea type of vibes.
Yeah.
But not to be entertained.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the Reddit forums anyway, so half the tea that they talk about in the podcast, someone does a little thing on Reddit with the short form of what we talked about anyway. So there are parts of it that I get, but I just, So episode one was them just talking, I think. Then episode two, they brought out Deep T and Natalie. And episode three, they had Jarrett and Ayana. And I really just be listening to hear what they got to say, not to really engage with Chris or Lauren or any of those people. And so I think last week was their last coverage day of Love is Blind season two. So I'm wondering what they're going to be covering for the rest of this season of the show. Because it's, I don't know. It I guess it's going to be like clickbait.
They might be covering, because I feel like they're just covering all the reality shows on Netflix. So if it's that, they got a lot to cover. Because Young, Famous, and African just came out. And whoo boy, that is a show. Have you watched it?
No, I'm not going to watch it. Don't try to pretend. I tried to watch 20-somethings and I hated it, okay?
What? 20-somethings was so good. Oh, my God.
I didn't like it.
Girl, I'm get saying. Into the like, group friendships reality TV. It's so good.
it's giving. So Laguna Beach was my group friendships reality TV peak moment, okay? I didn't really. And I did watch some Vanderpump Rules, but they weren't actually friends. They were coworkers.
No, so, I watched. My white like, friend got me into Vanderpump Rules, too. And I was like, why am I watching this white ass shit?
Because you get to see the guys be stupid and be coworkers. And I've been there before and I've had drinks at that spot. And I was like, it's not worth the money.
It's not worth the money
for drinks.
They barely work. I didn't think it was. But you have, I will key with y'all about Young, Famous, and African. If y'all haven't watched Young, Famous, and African, you definitely should. I was so entertained the entire time. I was like, holy shit, what happens next? There's a bunch, and it's a bunch of famous African celebrities. They're all hanging out in South Africa. One of the girls says she's dating Vic Mensa. I'm like, sure, girl, whatever. One of the women had a baby. Oh, Jen, you know that guy who sings, "You are my African queen."
Yeah.
"Girl of my dreams." So yeah, his wife is on the show. Hear this.
But he's not even African.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's Nigerian.
Is he?
Yeah, I thought, I honestly thought this was a reggae song. I thought this was a Jamaican artist. It's not. It's from an African artist. Honestly, I had the same thing when I first heard about him, like maybe 2 years ago. I was like, wait, this is not a Jamaican artist. It's not. It's an African man. It's a Nigerian man. And so he married this woman. Get this. Their first child, the first child that he has with his wife, is his fourth child overall, and he had no kids when they got together. So, no, actually it was his fifth child. So this man had four babies on her before they had a kid together. Like,
what's going on?
Right? So you're watching this like, girl, you sure you want to be with him? And they're about to get their vows renewed. So it's like, girl, you sure about him? You got like seven kids. And only two are yours. That's it overall. I think they have seven kids, or he has seven kids, and only two are hers, but they've been together the entire time. So it was like, girl, what the fuck? Anyway, that's the type of drama.
I realized, no, it's not. So the guy who sings the song is not who I thought it was. It's Tubaba who sings that song. Yes, that makes it.
Tubaba.
Yeah, yeah.
If y'all know who Tubaba is. Anyway, for anyone else who's interested, watch it. I tell you, you will not be bored. Tell me who your favorites are. My favorite's Swanky. But yeah, Young, Famous, and African. And tell Jen to watch it. Harass her on Instagram.
Y'all can tell me whatever you want. Menago, watch it. It's fine. It's fine.
What else is on Netflix? There was another reality show on Netflix that I was like, oh, they might cover that. I forget what it was, but it was another one with Black people. Damn, well, I don't think
they're going to cover it. So here's the thing, right? Chris Burns, Fat Carrie Bradshaw, is a white man. Yes. I do not think that they're going to be covering the show that you think it is. The show they're going to be covering is one they tease at the reunion, The Ultimatum. They're more than likely going to talk about that when that drops next month. But I don't see them covering, because they could also cover Love is Blind Japan or Love is Blind Brazil. They're not going to cover those things. Like, I think it's more of a pop culture tie into Netflix show moment. And I'm concerned that they will not be able to carry the show on the strength of that alone, because they're not going to be diverse in their watching or their audience.
They should just hire us. Pay us well.
I'm just saying, we're available, Netflix. To do me. My bank account. Thank you.
And our commentary is A1. We may not speak the best about you, though. So That's the risk.
Maybe. That's the risk. That's the risk. But let's see. What else is happening in the verse? Let's do emails and do the poll questions before I forget, because y'all know I will forget. So the email that I've been sitting on since February 26th. Are you ready? Let's go. Lord. It's by Camille. It says, "Hi, Jen and Lex. In short, I'm happy for everyone who said no and wish the others did too. I'm not good at predicting who will say no, yes at the altar, but I do make predictions for who will be divorced within a year or two. Looking at you, forgettable bickering white couple." "Also, if I had to hear Sal sing my fiance's How Like Beyonce one more time, I was going to scream. I hit that 10-second forward button so fast." Just saying.
She was just smart. Saying.
"But I'm mainly in your inbox to talk about Ayana and Jarrett. Surprise, surprise, I'm here for the black people. While I appreciated him getting misty-eyed as Ayana walked down the aisle, Jarrett's answer to why they fell in love with each other was still lacking. You love me how I want to be loved. No other woman has accepted me. You cared for me and nurtured me. All I heard was me, me, me."
Yeah.
Not that Ayana's answer was amazing, and I don't know why they didn't have anything prepared, but I've been side eyeing Jarrett since his second choice pick, and this was his last chance to prove himself. They both looked happy afterwards, though, so that's nice. I give them 2 years tops. Here for the mess, Camille."
Yes, I forgot about that. I forgot about how Jarrett's vows were all centered on how Ayana makes him feel and not on how she is, who she is as a person and why he wants her in his life. I completely forgot about that because I was just like, oh my God, they got together.
Yeah, I know. It's just, but that's also just because I don't think that he, no, here's what I will say. I think Jarrett was just ready to get married.
Yeah.
And it could have been anyone. And he was lucky it was Ayana.
Yeah, so he did say so, like, after almost losing his life, he was like, yo, it's time for me to settle down, have a wife.
Yeah, so, and we know men don't settle down because they're in love. They settle down because they just want to be married.
Because they need somebody to take care of them.
So there's that. I do have one more email. It's actually about Joe Millionaire, which we finished covering last week. But MJ says, "What a wild time we had when we thought a guy with a man bun, Kurt, was going to be an okay dude. Always believe the man bun." That's in all caps, by the way. "Always believe the man bun." And she also says, "Love your coverage of Love is Blind. You both have me cackling every week. So cheers to you." Thanks, yay, MJ.
I love our coverage of Love is Blind, too. Honestly, I think we have the best hot takes. Even if everybody's finished watching it and is on to other shows, I know y'all still want to hear us talk about it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Which is great because I love hearing us talk about it. Talk about it. So is that it for the emails? Is that all the emails?
Yep, that's it for the emails right now. And so now we're doing polls and questions from last week. Don't ask me what it were because I don't know what they were. Lex knows.
I know. So usually me and Jen are so coordinated. I'm like, this is the copy for the thing. These are our polls. We brainstorm. And then lately it's just been like, yeah, just do whatever. Let's just put something up. We're too busy. So Jen has no idea what I asked. So I asked last week, and if you're like, what poll are you talking about? Like, where can we answer this poll? It's a Spotify poll. If you go on Spotify every week, you'll see like a new poll or a Q&A. So, and just, you know, go talk to us. Tell us what you think. And we'll read it on the show. Always fun. We've been loving doing the polls. So I asked last week, were you watching the courtship? 13% of you said nah. Respect it. 25% of you said yep. 25% of you said it was my teenage dream too. But 38% of you said I binge it. Which have you relate to? Because I would definitely, if they dropped, I tell you, if they dropped all those episodes on Netflix or something, not the stupid fucking Peacock app, but on Netflix or Hulu or something, if they just dropped all the episodes, I promise you everybody would be talking about it. I don't know. Don't take my word for it, though.
Yeah.
But still.
No, but I do agree. I do agree. I think, especially with Bridgerton premiering this Friday, by the way, premiering this Friday, it would have been perfect to drop this like right before Bridgerton. So even dropping it like last week or week before that, like, or the day the first episode premiered, dropping it then, people will be talking about this and leading up into Bridgerton. Because today was a big Bridgerton premiere event, wherever it was, LA, London, who the fuck cares? So I'm just saying that Bridgerton is on Friday. This would have been a perfect pairing for that, but now we have to watch it separately. And so we're recording this on Tuesday, episode drops Thursday, and the courtship is on Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. on USA. It's not going to do better with the ratings. And that's what I think people keep missing. It's one thing to watch a show from 10 to 11 p.m. before you go to bed to go to work the next day. It's a whole other thing to stay up until midnight to be watching some show. You know?
Exactly. So we're watching a reality show. No, people are trying to go to bed so they can get up and go to work and be depressed. Okay? But honestly, if they had dropped the courtship as like this one bingeable series, and then it's perfect for like people who would watch Bridgerton like all weekend and then be like, I'm not done yet. I want something to like put me back in the Bridgerton mood. The courtship. Look at that. Wonderful. Perfect. Lines up immediately. Mm-hmm. And then they could put it on in the background during the week and be like, ah, yes, Bridgerton was a vibe. We're not TV executives, but we're just smart.
Yes, we are just smart. So what was the question this week? Since I'm going to this blind, so Lex, what was our question this week?
Our question this week was, what was really going on with Malfazor? I thought more people would answer, but we only got one answer from MJ. MJ said, not that I don't want to know what's going on because I want to know, but this might have been a scenario where they needed privacy, in which I'm glad that the show gave them. But the tea, though, gimme. And I'm like, yes, but I want the tea. Y'all signed off to put your relationship shit on TV. I want to see the relationship shit. Come on, give me the tea.
Yes, I definitely do want more of that. Absolutely. There's a lot of things missing that I think we could have been expanded on a lot more. In their storyline. Mm-hmm. We could have had less Shake talking about how much he doesn't want to fuck Deep D and more Sal and Mal arguments.
Exactly. We could have had a lot more than Shake telling us how little he's attracted to the person he chose and said he was attracted to. But you know.
Listen, we could also have had less Nick and Danielle arguments and more Mal and Sal arguments.
Yes. We didn't need 5 arguments in a row with Nick and Danielle. It was just unnecessary.
It was. You're absolutely right. But I mean, that's all I have for Love is Blind right now. I think I'm going to save some other thoughts for the reunion next week because that's when a lot of thoughts like really solidified in my head.
Yes, we will fully get into it after the reunion or the Shake show if you watched it. But we will definitely fully dive into the reunion next week. And I cannot wait because the tea was piping hot. You got to speculate on some of it. I'm speculating on. I'm like, I know this is it. But some of it I was like, ooh. That's what was happening, though. So look forward to that, y'all, next week. And that will be our last episode of Love is Blind coverage.
Yes, it will. So there is some Joe Millionaire tea, a little bit of tea, right? So we talked about the fact that Annie and Carolyn and Amanda and Stephen Calla have all done podcast episodes with Reality Steve. We talked about Carolyn's episode last week where I mentioned where she talked about Amanda turning the woman in the house against her, et cetera, et cetera. Amanda's been doing Q&As on her Instagram page and people have been asking about Carolyn and Amanda has chosen to answer some of these questions. And she's trying to be like, oh no, like Carolyn is super nice. Like I actually spoke to her on camera, but this conversation didn't air about the fact that I felt that she was being too cocky. And that she was being too this. And so she said, thanks for telling me that. And we were totally fine. I don't want the drama. I don't want to perpetuate this dramatic situation. And I'm like, but you're the one talking about it on your IG stories.
Exactly.
More than once. You've had multiple IG stories about this. I'll just go. You don't want to perpetuate the drama, but you are the one perpetuating the drama.
So that's a little weird. I guess she wants the attention. Maybe she's trying to save face, to be honest. She's looking like a mean girl. Like, she's looking funny in the light right now. And I think she just doesn't want people to think she's a mean girl. But you was a mean girl.
The actual question someone asked, like, direct question. On the podcast, Carolyn said you made the house basically isolate her. Do you agree with that? And she was like, no, I really don't. If anything, I remember pulling her aside to express that she was coming off a little cocky. It seems she was isolating herself and she thanked me for being honest. This is actually filmed on camera, our talk, but never made it to air. Perspective is everything, though. Everyone has a different view of their reality. No, you don't have to put people down to make yourself look better, and I hope we can be friendly again one day. It's been a lot, but no hard feelings towards her. And I'm just kind of like, it's so funny that you're calling on a black woman for this shit. It's so fucking funny. It's so fucking racist funny that you have decided to engage with her and perpetuate this conversation a certain way. So fucking funny. Because you know what she could have done? Not answered it.
Yeah, she could have ignored it, but no, she wanted to answer about it. But I don't know. Carolyn, this is just a side note. Carolyn dove in a pool and her hair didn't curl up. So I'm like, is she black?
No, she's biracial. Who's that? She's biracial. She's not white.
So black women, we do not decide to get our hair wet in the moment. Okay? It just doesn't. It doesn't happen. It is a decision we made a week before, maybe even a month before. And we have come to terms with, okay, our hair is going to be wet. These are the products we need to make sure our hair doesn't look like shit, basically, when you get out the water. So when Carolyn dove in the water, I was like, she black?
all I know is that she's not fully white. That I can say for sure. She's not white.
Okay.
So that's why I said biracial, because there are... Do you know that guy on TikTok? The guy who looks really white, but his mom is the one that's like super black. Like his mom is dark skinned black, and this dude white, your fuck. Wow, Lucas or something like that. He has like the fro, but his skin tone, if he cut his hair down low, you would think this was a white man.
Really? Maybe I need to go look him up. It's all intriguing sometimes. Sometimes you have one parent will be dark, one parent will be white, and the kid varies from super dark to super light. And it's just so interesting to me. So interesting. And it's like, you can never tell. It just happens.
Yeah, for real. It is very interesting. It's curious how genetics works, right? Oh, I found the other post with Amanda because I still want to talk shit about Amanda today. So the question was, you're my fave on the show. Would love to know how you feel about Carolyn. And she said, oh, thank you. Carolyn and I actually got along really well right off the bat. I'm assuming you're speaking of Carolyn because we had the most drama throughout the show. But I think she has a good heart. I believe she was just a little aggressive because she's had more on the line, which was being away from her son. I wish her nothing but happiness and success. And I'm like, why she gotta be aggressive?
I just don't understand why is she answering all these questions about Carolyn. Okay, I get answering one. But why you gotta answer two? That's basically the same question.
Like, yeah, they're the same question.
You could have just ignored it.
It's just feeling like she was a mean girl and people believe Carolyn and she's trying to save face at this point.
Yes, that's exactly what it feels like. And it's, I don't know, maybe saving face to her followers is important. Maybe they believe her, but I don't know if anybody else really would. Especially after hearing other things about her. Mm-hmm. It's just, enjoy your 15 minutes.
I don't believe in you, but okay.
Yeah, it's just like, she doesn't seem to be the best. Kurt doesn't seem to be the best either. I'm happy for Steven and Kala. That's as far as it goes for me when it comes to Joe Millionaire. It's like, I'm happy for these two. Good job.
Yes. Okay, so I have a brief question for you, Lex. I mentioned it on the IG stories today, but I want to know what you think. So, of course, we're finishing our Love is Blind coverage next week. We'll still be talking about the courtship, of course, as we go along, but it may not be weekly. What do you want to cover on the podcast for the rest of the season? Do you want to just end it at Love is Blind and we talk about the courtship? Do you want to talk about Bridgerton? Or do you want to cover an old season of Bachelor in Paradise?
Ooh, good options. I was thinking Bridgerton until you said that last option. Now I'm like, that might be a vibe. Let's see. I don't know. We could do both. Can we do Bridgerton and an OC? No, that might be a lot.
We could, but it would just mean that we don't cover Bridgerton weekly. We'll just cover it as like two big chunks, like the first couple episodes and the last couple episodes. Because you know it's only going to be about like...
Yes, it's probably only going to be like 8 or 10 episodes. I'm fine with that because we can probably cover Bridgerton over 2 or 3 episodes and then... Mm-hmm. get into cover an old season of Bachelor in Paradise in another couple of episodes and call it a season.
Yes, because...
When would we end our season? That is the question.
That is the real question. Right now, I don't have an idea. I'm just throwing options out there because I was just thinking it. The rumors are that BIP is not happening this season. I can't prove it.
What?
It's just a rumor. And Mike Fleiss tweeted that rumor was a lie, and then the tweet got deleted, which is why I am concerned. I'm concerned, but I'm still holding out hope. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like,
oh my God,
sitting here planning for a reality where we may not have it this season. And so I just want to have a backup in place for us.
I'm so happy. I'm doubly happy we did not watch The Bachelor this season. Because I would be pissed if I watched that shit and then none of them ended up in Paradise.
I'd be so mad. They have to do Paradise. But I think currently, rumor is it's not on the TV schedule. So it's not on the schedule. for the year at the moment.
I wonder if they would do it like an online thing where they would just drop a bunch of episodes and say, hey, watch Paradise. Because I would much prefer that than you could binge it. I would much prefer that, hopefully.
It could, because then we could watch it at our own pace. We don't have to deal with all these stupid like bits and bobs in between everything. It could work. We will have to wait and see. If we get the tea in advance, we will let you know, besties. I don't think we will, but we're not necessarily the number one in Mike's Rolodex here.
I was just thinking that. I was like, let's ask our best friend Flies. You might be like, them bitches, I gotta get them $40.
Yeah. So just saying, we're open to it. We're considering all the options. That should be the poll question. What do you want us to cover after Love is Blind?
Yes, yeah. So if y'all have Spotify, head to Spotify right now, right this second. And answer the poll, what should we cover after Love is Blind? I'll put all the options there available for you. And tell us, even if you don't have Spotify, go grab somebody else's phone. Go in their Spotify and answer the question. And let us know, because you are in charge of our fate on this podcast at this very moment. We're not just going to do what we feel like doing, I promise. Maybe.
Maybe we're not. But that's all I have today. I've thrown in those last bits and bobs because I didn't want to forget them. What about you, Lex? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
We talked about there being two bachelorettes.
Right? Yeah, there's no more information on that. Filming should start this week or next week, and that's all we got.
And so there should be bachelorette back in July. So at some point, we will take a break between now and then. But for now, we're covering something else, y'all. So vote in our poll. You'll have us for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, so have us for another couple of weeks for sure. And yeah, that's me.
Take it away, Lex.
If that's all, then I'm Lex, she's Jen, and we are the Blatchlorettes. Catch you next time, y'all.
Bye, everybody.